morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. I hope all of you have had a pleasant week this past week and that the upcoming week is as pleasant. My name is Kathy Gorski. I am this morning's representative from the church board. I have several announcements to make about church life and activities. Also, please refer to the order of service because there is additional information in there. And feel free to take it home so that you can not forget any events that you wanted to keep in mind. At this time, I'd like to invite all of you to greet those around you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning,
Jim.
Good morning, John.
I did that out of sequence. I was supposed to read the announcements first, but I was so keen to have everyone greet everyone else that I jumped right to that. Let me read the announcements now. First of all, I wanted to say that yesterday's retreat was a wonderful day of sharing in community and helping others. Many thanks to all who helped organize it and who participated in it. It was a very nice day. I was there. If anyone would like to do the Art Square activity that was done at the retreat, you're invited to go to the large classroom just past the social hall after the service. And even if you don't have time to participate, you should go look at it. It is really very lovely. Today is our monthly food pantry collection. It is a once-a-month event sponsored by the Social Action Committee. This month's collection is for the North Lake Food Pantry to help provide food and basic household goods for needy persons. Monetary donations will be collected during the offertory. Food contributions can be placed in the baskets that are sitting in the foyer and are labeled food pantry. Next Sunday, February 12th, everyone is invited to bring a dish to pass for a church-wide potluck. Drop off your dish in the social hall before church and enjoy some great company after the service as we share a meal together. Also, next Sunday, for those who are interested, our speaker will be presenting a special workshop on bringing UU values into the home. Those who are interested can enjoy the potluck and then hear tips on how to improve family communication, develop mutual bonds, share important family stories, respect differences, and enjoy time together. Children and adults are invited. The workshop will end around 2 p.m. Today is the last day to sign up in the social hall. See Carrie Duma if you have any questions. Yes? And where's it taking place? Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. If you are visiting us today, we particularly welcome you. Please sign the guest ledger on the visitor table in the foyer, where there is also a variety of information available about our church and Unitarian Universalism. Feel free to take anything that interests you. Also, we encourage you to grab a cup of coffee and join us after today's service in the minister's office so that we can chat, answer any questions that you may have, and get to know one another. And the minister's office is out the foyer and straight back. Step into the office, and you'll see the minister's office right there. If you are visiting us with your children, it is our custom for the children to remain with us until after the story for all ages, at which time they go to their RE classes. Your child is welcome to join them or to remain in the service. If you would like to go along to observe the class, please do so. The nursery is just outside these doors and across the hallway if you do need child care during the service. Classes end at 11:15 a.m., at which time you can pick your children up. We always enjoy getting to know our visitors, our guests. If any members have brought guests today, we would be pleased if you were to introduce them. Or if any guests have brought themselves and feel comfortable doing so, please stand up and state your name, and we will welcome you. Okay, none today. Everyone is invited to gather in the social hall after the service for refreshments and conversation. Just a quick reminder, put your cell phones on silent mode during the service, and I hope you find this morning service inspiring. Our speaker today is Reverend Jim Hobart, our halftime interim minister. Thank you, Jim.
We gather together here for worship, for service, for deeper understanding, for greater inclusion of all people among us. We are diverse persons, yet united in a common cause. We seek together to build in the world of human affairs ways that serve truth and beauty and love. Our flaming chalice reminds us of men and women over the ages, people known and people unknown, people remembered and people forgotten, all in their living brought to the human community light and warmth, compassion and justice, greater insight and ongoing renewal of the human spirit. As we light our chalice in remembrance, we too seek to contribute toward the more abundant life for all. And it's in this spirit this morning that we light our chalice.
Good morning. Our opening hymn this morning is number 145. Please stand as you're willing and able, and we're going to do something a little different this morning. Our choir is going to help lead the hymn and help us get a little more energy into it. So we'll welcome their support.
Our kindred hearts and minds.
think that worked. We've got some ingathering words this morning. They're number 468 in the gray hymnal. Please join in with the italicized words. We need one another. We need one another when we mourn and would be comforted. We need one another when we are in despair, in temptation, and need to be recalled to our best selves again. We need one another in the hour of success when we look for someone to share our triumphs. We need one another when we come to die and would have gentle hands prepare us for the journey.
All our lives we are in need, and others are in need of us.
I'm all wired this morning. Can you hear me? I'm probably the least technologically oriented person. What I'd really rather do is just talk real loud. But maybe this helps you to hear me better. So I'd like to invite those who would like to join me down here in the front to come forward. Whoops, see, there we go. That's why I don't like technology. Things always go awry. Okay. If anybody wants to sit up here with me, that's fine too. Who is our lantern carrier today?
Hannah is
our, okay. When we get ready to leave, you'll come pick up the lantern, right? And then everybody will follow you out. Okay. Story. Fillmore and the Perfect Place. Once upon a time, every good story starts once upon a time. There was a man named Fillmore who lived in a very pleasant town. Now, you would think that Fillmore would be happy living there, but he wasn't happy. Why? Because he believed that there had to be a town which was the perfect place. He read and he read, but he could not find the perfect place in any book. He traveled and he traveled, but he never found the perfect place anywhere that he went. He talked to everyone he met, but no one had ever been to the perfect place. One day, Fillmore saw a boy walking down the road with a book in his hand. Fillmore loved books, so he asked to look at the title, and the boy showed it to him, and guess what it read? How to Get to the Perfect Place. Well, as you can imagine, Fillmore was overjoyed, and he asked the boy, "May I read your book?" And the boy replied, "Well, yes, you can read it, but you won't understand it." "Oh, yes, I will," said Fillmore. "I have read many, many books, and I understood every one." So Fillmore opened the book to the first page, and there he read, "To get to the perfect place, you must laugh." Well, strange as it may seem, Fillmore had not laughed in many years, not since he was a young boy. "Laugh," he said, "I can't laugh. I'm too busy to laugh. Laugh? Life is too serious to laugh about it. Laughing is a waste of time." However, Fillmore wanted very much to get to the perfect place, so he tried to laugh. "Ha," he said. "Ha, ha, 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 ha." But nothing happened. "There must be something more in the book," Fillmore said, and he turned to the second page, and there he read, "To get to the perfect place, you must cry." "Cry? Cry? What good will that do?" he said. "Crying never changed anything. It's just a waste of time." However, Fillmore wanted very much to get to the perfect place, so he tried to cry, which was very hard because he'd not cried since he was a very little boy. "Boo hoo," he said. But nothing happened. "Oh, boo hoo hoo." Nothing happened. "Oh, boo hoo ho 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 ho, boo hoo." And still nothing happened. "There must be more in this book," Fillmore said. So he turned to the third page, and there he read, "To get to the perfect place, you must sing." "Sing? I can't sing. I haven't sung in years since I was a little boy. What good will singing do? It's just a silly waste of time. I don't even know any songs to sing. Can't do it." However, remember, Fillmore wanted very much to get to the perfect place. What did he remember about singing? "Oh, yes," he said. "I remember something about do, re, mi." So he tried it. Do, re, mi. But nothing happened. So he tried again. Do, re, mi. Let's see. Fa, sol, la, ti, do. But nothing happened. "This will never work," Fillmore said. "I'll never get to the perfect place. Let's see. There must be something else in this book." But there wasn't. "What?" he said. "This book is only 3 pages, and one page says laugh, and one page says cry, and one page says sing. What kind of book is this anyway? I've tried. It doesn't work." Well, Fillmore was very disappointed, and he started to walk home. And as he walked home over the hill, he heard the voices of some children. And when he reached the crest of the hill at the very top, he saw that they were trying to catch a butterfly, not with a net, but with their hands. And of course, the butterfly flitted this way and that way and up and down and in and out. And the children tried to keep up with it, and they would just about catch it, but they never quite could. And as they chased the butterfly, they began to giggle and laugh. And sometimes they laughed so hard they couldn't even stand up, much less run. So they lay down in the grass laughing. And as Fillmore watched, he smiled. And then he giggled. And then he began to laugh. He had to sit down. He was laughing so hard. And the next thing he knew, he was chasing the butterfly too, giggling and laughing and sometimes falling onto the grass. And suddenly, as the butterfly flitted this way and that, several of the children bumped into each other, and they all fell to the ground. They were surprised, and they were startled, and they were afraid. And one of the children began to cry, and then another. And pretty soon, everyone was crying. And much to his surprise, Fillmore began to cry too. He wasn't hurt or startled or afraid, but he was concerned about the children. And tears welled up in his eyes, and a tear ran down his cheek. And then another one ran down the other cheek, and then tears ran down both of his cheeks. And soon his face was wet with tears. "What can I do to help the children?" he asked himself. And then the answer occurred to me. He called out, "Come on, everybody, let's stand up and join hands in a circle and let's sing." "London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down, my fair lady. London Bridge is falling down, falling down, falling down. London Bridge is falling down, my fair lady." Some of you can't sing too. All of a sudden, Fillmore realized something very important. Standing with the children in the circle, holding hands and singing, he realized that he had found the perfect place. It was not across the ocean. It was not beyond the rainbow. It was not in some time yet to come. And Fillmore said to himself, "The perfect place is right here and now. If we have the ears to hear about it, and the eyes to see it, and the hearts to feel it." He knew that children can find that place of laughter and tears and song, and often they do. And he knew, too, that adults can find that place, but often they won't allow themselves to laugh and cry and sing and play. Well, that's it. That's the way it was once upon a time. Well, there is one more thing. What about us? Can we young people and adults here at the Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church find the perfect place? What do you think? Well, now it's time to go to RE classes, except for those of us who have to stay here and listen to me. So if Hannah will come up and get the candle, the lantern, she will lead us out. You're going to play some music for us, right? And we'll see you later.
Now we come to the time in our service where we take a few minutes and reflect on the deep concerns or special joys of the past week. And so if you have any to share, please tell us your name. And the usher will bring the microphone, and you can share your joy or concern, and I'll light a candle for you. I'd like to light our memorial candle this morning to think about the people of Syria as the violence escalates there, and the Western nations are not unified in opposing the dictatorship of Assad, that these people are increasingly suffering, and so this morning's memorial candle is for the people of Syria.
I have another global concern. I've watched the news a few times recently, and some in depth, about the mounting tensions between Iran and Israel with nuclear weapons involved. And it feels so out of my control and our control in many ways. And I've meditated on President Obama and everybody that he can gather together to try to work through this extremely high tension, as Israel says they're going to strike sometime in spring. So please light a candle of hope and concern. Thank you.
If you'd like a light a candle of joy, please. Village in Haiti that I worked at with the Unitarian Universalist Service Committee in December, they were successful in digging a well and getting a solar-powered pump going. So now they have the 10 families that live there have access to safe drinking water.
Could light a candle of concern for two friends who were diagnosed with breast cancer this week.
I'm Dave. If you could please light a candle of concern, a colleague of mine had a brother who was diagnosed with a brain tumor, and his family with a couple of teenage kids is dealing with that. And also, if you could please light a candle of joy for some music making that I've been involved with and has been a real highlight in my life the last several months, sharing that with members of this church community.
One last candle for the joys and concerns that we keep to ourselves today.
Let us join our minds and hearts in a time of meditation and reflection and prayer. Mystery beyond our reckoning, moving among us, between us, within us, as the spirit of life and love. We have been given these uncertain and troubling times to live and to strive for understanding, for peace and justice, for compassion and loving ways, This day is ours, the only time we now have. Let us strive to make of it what we can and what we must in the service of our vision of a better world. May we live with a spirit of gratitude for the many opportunities lying before us in the grace and the grit of this day. Let us approach each occasion with an open and receptive mind. Let us be ready to discover the inherent possibilities lying all around us. Let us be prepared to do our part in bringing the potential into existence. We give thanks today for the world's beauty surrounding us and sustaining us. We offer thanks today for the many gifts we have received from past generations. May the words of our mouths and the songs of our hearts and the acts of our hands display our gratitude. And now in silence, let us each continue in this spirit of reflection and meditation and prayer. May it be so. Amen. Now for our next hymn, number 299, I invite you to remain seated as we sing "Make Channels for the Streams of Love."
We have a reading this morning. It's been written by James Luther, and it's from a book called A Faith for the Free. The free person will be unfree will be a victim of tyranny from within or from without if her or his faith does not assume form in both word and deed. There can be no reliable faith for the free unless there are faithful men and women who form the faiths into beliefs, who test and criticize the beliefs, and who then transform and transmit their beliefs. The Free Church is that community which is committed to determining what is rightly of ultimate concern to persons of free faith. It is the community in which persons open themselves to the holy, to each other, and to commanding, sustaining, transforming experiences from the past, giving that tradition and newborn faith the occasion to become relevant to the needs of the time. The process of forming and transforming the beliefs of the free faith is a process of discussion. It's a cooperative endeavor in which people surrender to the commanding, transforming reality. The only way men and women can reliably form and transform beliefs is through the sharing of tradition and new insights, and through the cooperative criticism and testing of tradition and insight. Now, the idea of forming a community of such faith is a bold venture. It means that women and men must be willing to reform themselves and their faith. The community of justice and love is not an ethereal fellowship that is above the conflicts and turmoils of the world. Freedom requires a body as well as a spirit. A purely spiritual religion is a purely spurious religion. It is one that exempts its believer from surrender to the sustaining, transforming reality that demands the community of justice and love. Anything that exists effectively in history must have form, and the creation of a form requires power, not only the power of thought, but also the power of organization and the organization of power.
Blessed be the ties that bind. Some of you may remember that song from other religious settings. We don't sing it much as Unitarian Universalists. But best be the ties that bind. That is the theme of our sermon this morning. The English word religion is derived from the Latin word religare, R-E-L-I-G-A-R-E, which means the bonds that bind us together or tie us together. Our religious bonds are fashioned within the circle of our many relationships as family, parents, siblings, grandparents, great-grandparents, aunts, uncles, and cousins, as members and friends of a church, this church, as children in the church school, as a minister in the congregation, as citizens one with another, and in the world as employees and employers. These and many more of our relationships are the bonds one with another, and they bind us together with special obligations and responsibilities, and with rights and privileges too. The bonds and ties of relationship are inherent in the meaning of religious community. There is a network of relationships among us, and we can symbolize this network and visualize our relationships by thinking of them as joining us together as we would if I passed a ball of yarn throughout the congregation. I actually thought about bringing a ball of yarn to pass throughout the congregation and decided it might take too much time. But this imaginary ball of yarn is out there among us, and passed from person to person, it connects us one to another. And then these connections pass out of this space, out through the door, and they reach out to connect us to people and to places beyond this church, to the interconnected sacred web of existence of which we are a part, which we speak of in our Unitarian Universalist principles. The many elements of our worship together acknowledge the order of our many connected relationships within and beyond the church. Religion, religious, religio. These words all bespeak relationship and connection. And we here are joined together in the bonds of this community. And we experience those bonds in many ways, in Sunday worship services, in child dedications, in weddings and memorial services, and coming of age ceremonies. All of these and many more acknowledge and celebrate our relationships one to another, the blessed ties that bring us together and together bind us to those beyond this community too, to persons, to public and private institutions, to the past and to the future. So all of the dimensions of this church are about relationship, even those committee meetings and religious education and the social fellowship and pastoral care and our social justice work. Yes, the committees and the other often mundane work of church administration and finance and building upkeep. All of these and more serve the relational life and the relational well-being of each of us and of this church community. Membership and ministry are about relationship. Please keep this firmly in mind. This morning I want to consider with you, in terms of our relationships, this particular time, this year, this interim year at the Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church, when I realized, as I thought about what I was going to use as topics for my sermons as we came into the new year, when I realized that February marks the halfway point, the six-month point, the midpoint of our year together, as I pondered on that, an image came to my mind. And that image was the garden maze. Have you ever tried to find your way to the center of a maze? A maze is a kind of puzzle, and we try to figure it out. We try to solve it. A maze has twists and turns and a number of dead ends, and there is only one path in the maze that leads to the center and then leads back out again. So as we enter a maze, our task is logical and analytical and sequential. It is to find the correct way in and then the correct way out. And in some ways, in general the life of the church, this church, and in particular during an interim year, it feels very much like a maze for the congregation and for the minister too. It feels like a puzzle we have to solve. Well, let me give you an example which I think will help to explain this. Several times during the 6 months I have been among you, I brought up some recent church event or decision which has not included me. And someone said, "Oh, our former ministers did not want a role in these kinds of events and decisions, so we assumed you didn't either." Or you can turn it around. Someone expects me to take part in some event or decision which I don't understand as part of my task as your minister. And again, we have to straighten out that confusion. This is a church puzzle. It is a church maze. I assume I have a role as minister. I want a role. I don't understand why I don't have one. And this leads me into a dead end. And board members and committee members and others in the church are led into another dead end as they assume I don't want a role in that kind of decision. Until we figure it out, we keep running into confusing twists and turns and dead ends, especially in the beginning. An interim ministry, but really every new ministry is like this for both the minister and the congregation. It is a time when assumptions go awry. It is a time of mistakes and misunderstandings. It is a puzzling time. It is a maze. And it has been that way sometimes for you and me during these first 6 months of our relationship. Well, keep the image of the maze in mind constantly, now and later, and it will help us to understand why things are going the way that they are. And then when that wonderful day arrives, it's out there over the horizon, when a new, settled, full-time minister finally arrives here, it will be a maze all over again for him or for her and for you too. Remember the maze. Maybe we ought to have that made into a button that we all could wear on our shirt or our coat or our dress, and that later then you and your new call minister should wear too. Stop! Warning! Danger! Remember the maze. Well, as I thought about the maze as a metaphor for ministry and for life in the congregation, another related image came to my mind: the labyrinth. Now, you may remember, and if you don't, I will tell you about it now. The labyrinth from Greek mythology. According to the story, the labyrinth of Crete followed the elaborate floor plan of the Palace of Knossos. And according to the myth, Daedalus, the Athenian craftsman, had designed the labyrinth for King Minos of Crete. And it was in the labyrinth where the Minotaur was imprisoned, a man-eating beast, half man and half bull. And no one could escape from the labyrinth or from the Minotaur. Well, Daedalus revealed the labyrinth's secret only to Ariadne, the daughter of the king, And then Ariadne aided the Athenian hero Theseus to slay the monster and to escape the labyrinth. And in revenge, King Minos imprisoned Daedalus and his son Icarus in the labyrinth. You may remember the story of Icarus and Daedalus too. Unable to find their way to the labyrinth exit, Daedalus fashioned wax wings for himself and his son so they could fly out. And then you will perhaps remember that Icarus flew too close to the sun, and his wings melted, and he fell to his death in the sea, while Daedalus flew off to safety in Sicily. This image of the labyrinth dates back 3,500 years in myth and legend. And the labyrinth of Crete was a maze, as were many of the classic pagan labyrinths that are found in diverse cultures, Egyptian and Cretan and Greek, Roman and Celtic and Mayan and Native American too, to name a few. These ancient labyrinths served as both solar and lunar calendars, and they held religious significance and meaning and were associated with religious rites. The oldest existing Christian labyrinth dates from the 4th century of the Common Era and is found in the Basilica of Reparatus in Algeria. Christian churches were often built over pagan religious sites, some of which included the labyrinth design. In Christian churches, the labyrinth as maze took a metaphorical turn toward being understood as a journey or a pilgrimage. It was a symbolic alternative to the arduous, dangerous, and expensive pilgrimage that many Christians wanted to take to Jerusalem. Now, the Christian labyrinth has one circuitous but clear path that goes to the center and then comes back out again. It is not a puzzle or a maze which one seeks to solve, but it is a symbolic religious spiritual journey, a pilgrimage to be undertaken into the spiritual center and then back out again. The Christian labyrinth is not a maze to be solved or not, but rather it is a religious journey or pilgrimage to be undertaken or not. The appreciative mood of the labyrinth is open and receptive. It is imaginative and intuitive and meditative. And the question of the labyrinth is not whether you can find the way, but rather will you follow the way? Well, the maze has its merits as a religious metaphor for our relationships in the church. But I think the metaphor of the labyrinth as pilgrimage, as journey, is richer and more promising. Following our religious way assumes that we agree where we are going together. Remember the way. Maybe we ought to have that made into a second button. You know, we could have one on one side and one on the other, and we could wear them all the time to remind us. So, what is the way? This carries us back to our religion, to the bonds that tie us together. It carries us to our relationships, to our right relationships. Blessed be the ties that bind, affirms the old hymn. Well, what are our ties? What are our bonds of relationship one to another? Each to all to each. Well, bring to mind again that imaginary twine that symbolizes the sacred interconnected web of creation of which we're all a part. This is the largest and the most general arena of our relationships, of our religion. And it affirms in principle that our religion appropriately includes absolutely everything within the interconnected relationships of the cosmos. Nothing is excluded. Nothing is profane. This affirmation is a macrocosmic religion because it takes everything into the circle. So how does this inclusive perspective relate to the particulars of this congregation, the Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church? I want to respond now to that question from my interim minister view of our common labyrinth pilgrimage together, in which we seek to follow a common religious way based in relationship. I want to make some professional ministerial observations based on my experience with you during the past 6 months. Are you ready for this? Well, first, let me say, you folks here at this congregation have strong, positive, caring personal relationships with one another. And you should continue to follow that religious way on your labyrinth pilgrimage. I have no doubt that you will. And second, you people here at the Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church understand that the ministry of the church is not restricted to the members and friends of the church who gather together here for worship and fellowship and mutual support. And this greater inclusion is seen in your numerous social service and social justice engagements, both as a congregation as individuals within the congregation. So follow this religious way on the labyrinth pilgrimage. And third, you have some practices and ways of organization which tend to limit your common vision of the possibility and the potential of this liberal church in this particular location. And during the 6 months that I have been here, we have been examining some of these ways, and sometimes changes have been made, and sometimes changes have been resisted, and there really isn't anything extraordinary about this mixture of readiness and resistance to change. It's happened in every church I've ever served. Well, why in the world would anyone want to make changes in a good congregation? And it is clear that this congregation is already a dynamic and vital community. Yes, it is. However, I believe that this congregation has even greater opportunities. The Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church has the opportunity, it has the potential, and I want to maintain it also has the responsibility to become the regional center of Unitarian Universalism in these several growing communities west of Milwaukee. Now, granted, in some ways you already are a center of religious liberalism And there aren't too many of them out here as I observe it. You have even a greater opportunity and potential to reach out your ministry and to bring in 300 or 400 people into this community, bringing them too into the sustaining bonds of your community relationships. And you can do this if you enthusiastically envision the potential and the possibility and develop church organization and ministry programs which will bring you to that vision. It can happen if you follow this religious way of the labyrinth pilgrimage. You have a common obligation that is also a common privilege and opportunity, and you can choose fully to support a religion and a church that at its very heart is consistent with your values and your perspectives. So I say, do it. Do it enthusiastically. Do it proudly. Do it without reservation or complaint. For good and for ill, relational and attitudinal issues lie at the heart of every religious community. For good and for ill, these ways become built into the cultures of a church, and over the years, they have been chosen and adopted. They aren't ordained. They're not preordained. And you can change them. You can reconstruct them if you consent together to do that. So if you're ready, maybe I should say when you are ready, because I believe you will be, to take up this relational religious discipline pilgrimage through the labyrinth, you will agree to follow the way that includes envisioning goals and establishing priorities to reach these goals, and reaching deep into your resources of time and effort, and yes, financial support to achieve these common goals. Perhaps my major ministerial responsibility this year is to open up for your consideration how things are done here and how I think they might be done, and to point out that there are other and often better ways to carry out church organization and life, and with you work to develop and find the resources that assist you to become more responsible stewards of this church and the religious values, the liberal religious values that it represents. And this is the heart of a minister-congregation relationship. I am prepared and eager to take it up with you if and when you're ready to do it. And guess what? We're only halfway through the year. We still have 6 months together for sure. And if we both agree to it, we can have 12 more months after that. Whichever it is, let us seek to utilize this time well. And in these ways, we will honor the past, we will serve the present, and we will ensure a vibrant future for the Lake Country Unitarian Universalist Church. And to that, all I can add is Amen.
it's time to take a few minutes and offer your own reflections. And if you'll indulge me, the first one, thank you, Jim, for sharing your thoughts on our community. And I had some images in my mind about mazes. One is that in the mythology, the maze is seemingly sort of negative, something to be feared, but I would submit that a maze is one of the beauties of life in that you don't know the path, and the beauty of life is discovering the path is one thing. And in a maze, I don't really know how they're constructed, but I wonder if there's maybe more than one path out of a maze. And as we all have different inputs, maybe we can get there on through whichever path we choose. It would be one of potentially several choices. And lastly, I learned something new about the connection between religion and relationships. The words, I didn't know that they stemmed from each other, and it makes a lot of sense to me that, because I think our community is all about relationships. So sorry for taking so long. We only have a few minutes.
One thought that I had that came to mind when you were talking about the growth and the future of this community, I don't know if anyone's ever thought about this, but I would love to see a UU school for our youth.
My name is Yvonne, and just last night I was preparing for a meeting. This next year will be 15 years old as a congregation. I was reading the president's report from that first year, and it was, you know, Tim Fuller was the president, and he said, I don't even know who to thank because everybody needs to be thanked because there were only 30-some of us, and everybody did something. And it was a wonderful sense of, yes, we're in this together, and we're not doing it for ourselves. We're doing it so that we can invite others into this community. And I love the message this morning of we've seen a lot of changes along the way, and that's what's brought us to where we are. And I think change is a really positive thing while holding on to the values that we started with.
I'm Mary, and I'm just going to personalize a little bit here. We moved back here from the Boston area 7 years ago, and I had attended Unitarian churches there when Isabel was two, I think, or four, primarily because they had childcare, and it was a time I could sit and be by myself and not have anyone bother me. And when we moved back here, I felt like I'd been dropped into like another planet, even though I had lived here before, because of how, I guess, conservative this area is and how different culturally it was from Boston. So when I had done many, many web searches for many things in the area, but when I don't know, finally had enough time to notice that this property had become a Unitarian church, I was sort of knocked out, and I thought, okay, well, we're going to have to get involved there somehow. You know, with our busy lives, we're somehow going to have to figure out how to get involved there. And the maze image was a very nice one to me because it has felt like a maze since we came back here. And when I first came here, two of my kids' teachers were here, and I realized, oh my God, there's someone here who's also has some sensibility similar to mine. So that's my little testimony. There you go. Thanks.
Maybe your last comment, please.
Very brief. I'm Mark. I didn't quite still, I need to understand the difference between a labyrinth and a maze. But I know we have a labyrinth out here that's round and we go all the way in and all the way out. And I tend to think of this church as a maze because it's very confusing. Where you go and it's round and there's ways in and ways out.
True story.
You might say it's amazing.
This brings us to our offertory, and as noted in your offer of, or as in your order of service, this is our monthly special offertory with some of the donations as so marked, or the loose cash going to the North Lake Food Pantry. I'll just read a couple of words here too. The offering is a sacrament of the Free Church. It is supported by the voluntary generosity of all who join with us, and so the offering will now be given and received in grateful appreciation of our shared hopes and values. Now, a long-time or possibly founding member, Lynn Smith, has a testimonial she'd like to give as we enter our stewardship time of the year. Long-time or founding?
Charter. Good morning. I have a stone. It's white and it's smooth, and I found it in Rocky Mountain National Park. I swear it was made just for me because it fits so well in the palm of my hand. It's a somewhat magical stone. When I hold it, it helps me find strength when I need strength. It helps me find resolve when I need resolve. It gives me a sense of certainty when I need that. This church community is like my stone. No, it doesn't fit in the palm of my hand, but it fits really nicely in my heart. It's a perfect place for me. I've been an active member of this congregation for 15 years, and I've been asked to answer the question, what does this church mean to me? It's a good question, and I love good questions. It's why I love Socrates Cafe, where we get to throw out philosophical questions and spend sometimes a half hour deciding which ones we want to answer. Last month, in fact, we asked, is anything a waste of time? Fillmore, the guy in our story this morning, he should have been there. Well, this church means a lot to me. It's one of the rocks in my life, and I've learned a lot by being a member here. It's where I've learned, as schmaltzy as this may sound, that dreams can come true. Many years I dreamt that my three children would grow up to be socially responsible adults. And this dream has come true in large part due to their upbringing in this church. Here we teach our kids that they can make a difference in our world by getting them involved in service projects. And when they become young adults, getting involved seems second nature to them. Take my daughter May, who recently spent 6 months volunteering at Safe Passage, teaching the children who grow up in the garbage dump and the mothers in the adult literacy program. May came and spoke with a group of us here at our church, and it was her testimonial that inspired our church to support Vilma. You can check out the poster in the social hall. She's in the adult literacy program down there. May has also inspired other LCUC graduates to volunteer down there. I've learned a lot here. I've learned that the reason I can't sing many of the hymns in our hymnal very well is because they aren't written for altos. And I've learned that I'm an alto thanks to Karen, our choir director. I've also learned how much fun it is to write a song, which I did with Karen for our graduating high school seniors. Here at church, I've learned to laugh at myself. We were talking about Fillmore, you know. Learning to laugh. Some of you may have remembered a few years ago when I had to introduce the service. I had forgotten to do my homework and really didn't know what the sermon topic was. So I turned around to ask our minister, and she said, well, I'm going to discuss if it's ever right to do the wrong thing or wrong to do the right thing. I'm like, oh, okay, I get it, right and wrong. So I turned to face you guys, the congregation, and I said, well, I hope you enjoy today's service. We will be exploring what's right and wrong with our minister. Yeah. Yeah, I learned to laugh at myself. I've learned how exciting and important it is to work as a team, that much more can be accomplished when we join our hands and hearts together than by one pair of hands alone. The work isn't always easy, but together it's possible to accomplish some pretty amazing things. Last year as president, I worked hard on a team to get our solar installation approved and up and running. I really don't know how many times I had to ask, now what is net metering again and how does that work? But it's hard to believe, you know, we become solar and really so green. This church means a lot to me. It's a restful place for me where I can breathe deeply and just be me. It's a rock. Which brings me back to that song I told you about that we wrote for our high school seniors. Some of the lyrics in that song speak to me as well, and maybe they'll speak to you. I'm not going to sing them. I'm just going to say them. This UU home will be here for you. When in doubt, we'll see you through. Take a look. Take a look around. I hope you all take a look around and answer this question for yourself. What does this church mean to me? It's a good question. Thank you.
I invite you to turn to the back of the hymnal to reading number 580, The Task of the Religious Community. Well, I got to tell you that Mark Morrison Reed, who wrote this, I was his sixth grade Sunday school teacher. So everything he stands for, he got from me. So let us read in unison. The central task of the religious community is to unveil the bonds that bind each to all. There is a connectedness, a relationship, discovered amid the particulars of our own lives and the lives of others. Once felt, it inspires us to act for justice. It is the church that assumes us that we are not struggling for justice on our own, but as members of a larger community. The religious community is essential, for alone our vision is too narrow to see all that must be seen, and our strength too limited to do all that must be done. Together, our vision widens and our strength is renewed. Our closing hymn is in the Teal Book, number 1018. We got helpers with this one, I hope. Yay, here they come. And this is kind of a joyous, bouncy hymn, so let's get into it. Go forth with determination, for the world's renewal requires our steadfast work. Let us go forth with patience, for the world's recovery will not be complete in our generation. Let us go forth with courage, for the world's salvation depends upon facing entrenched powers of self-interest. And let us go forth with gratitude, for the world's well-being and its graces gives our life meaning and purpose. Amen.
Thank you.
you. Appreciated your additions and commentary on the thing. Good morning.